Hey folks, I'm here to tell you about Space Rehearsal and Recording. A uniquely Austin experience, preserving its musical heritage and inspiring future artists, Space is an affordable venue for rehearsal and recording situated just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms and wide gallery-lit corridors and excellent parking, they have the space to help you achieve the goals that you need. Join their customers that range from local musicians, international musicians, acting troops, yoga practitioners, performance artists, and me. Simply call 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. We have the return of the band Gobi. They were on a few months ago, or maybe like early last year when they were releasing a song called Born to Dance. Well, now their full album, Gold on Black Ice, is out, and Phil and Dunny came by, and we talked about it. We talked about working with AJ Vallejo, who's one of the co-producers, and Colin Cadillac Roberts, both great guys. AJ's been a dear friend of mine for over 20 years now. Great pal. Did a podcast with them last week. Great to hear work that he's doing, and even outside of the box of rock, you know? All these guys are a pop band, a dance band, an EDM group, a real band like that, that lives in Austin, which if you live in Austin or you know the Austin music scene, you don't really see a lot of that. And it's nice to see that. It's nice to see guys doing something that's happening everywhere too, you know? And they're a great band. They write great songs, and I always have a good time talking to Phil and Dunny, and this is no different. So sit back, enjoy. We will have this conversation in just a minute after I tell you what's going on with me. What is going on with me? I told you guys earlier in the week I started that writing a song every day thing. Whoa, man, it's taken its toll. I haven't written today's song yet, but I will. And I played last night at Wero's for the KDRP their Wednesday show at Wero's. I opened for the Blue Bonnets. They ended up joining me on stage because I was doing a solo show. They came up for the last song and we played a song together, and that was a lot of fun. If you heard it on the radio, I hope you enjoyed it. I think it's 100.1. But that's a great show. If you live in Austin, get out there on Wednesdays to that Wero's show. It's free. They got snacks. They got drinks. It's outside. It was absolutely gorgeous last night to do it. There was a ton of people there. They were all really nice. Tons of people came up and said hi. Got to see Casey Monahan. He was co-hosting the show. For those of you that don't know who that is, he's the he still is until like next week or something. He is the head of the Texas Music Office, and he's been ousted with the new regime that comes in. And we are supposed to get together and sit down and talk about this, and he's going to explain what that office does and what exactly happened to him and how he got terminated. I kept on saying that on stage last night. I don't know if that was very nice. Anyway. Been doing that, doing some shows with Skyrocket tonight. If you live in Austin, we will be in Pflugerville. If you live up there, we'll be at Hanover's tonight. And then if you live in Houston tomorrow night, we will be at the Continental Club. Those shows are always haywire and insane. So that should be a lot of fun. And I will be writing a song every day, no matter what. And Sunday, I'm actually going to a screenwriting thing with a friend of mine, like a seminar. Yeah, I haven't told you guys this, but I've read the Sid Field book on screenwriting. I'm rereading it. I am, look, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got a story I think is good, and I'd like to turn it into a screenplay. I don't know if it's going to take me working with other people. I know John Morton has offered his help, the author that was on a few months ago. Saw him last night. Great to see him. Anyway, he offered to help, and I have other friends that are offering to help. I've got my Uncle Jack and I kind of talk about the story and kind of work it out. That's who I'm kind of sorting the story out with, creating the story with. Anyway, I'm not going to talk much about it because it's something I'm trying to do. It's going to take a long time to do. And as far as these songs that I'm doing, I haven't written one yet that I want to put up. But as soon as I do that, I'll start putting them up on my SoundCloud. I've got music up there on my SoundCloud, but as soon as I start doing some stuff, so far they've just been like acoustic recordings onto my phone. Like I wanted to write every day. I wanted to sit down with my acoustic guitar and get a song out. Now I'm going to start, I have until February 25th, I'm writing a song every day. So I'm going to start getting in the studio next week. I've been staying at my former girlfriend Sandy's house where we have dogs together. She's been out of town, so I've been staying there with the dogs. It's been great, but I can't really utilize my studio. I just come home to do this podcast stuff. So got a lot of great shows coming up for you. In February, we got A Quiet Company, Aaron Behrens from Ghostland Observatory. A lot of great shows coming up. So I want to thank everyone that's been listening. The first month of this year has been fantastic. We are still going up in numbers. And we got a great shout out from KUTX last week for the Caution Tape show. They actually used it as a reference before they told the story about them. So that was good. That's what's going on with me. Going to play some shows, writing a song every day, played a solo show last night. I'd like to have a band again. I'm going to start looking for band members, looking for a drummer and a bass player to start off with. That's what I'm looking for. All right. And I'm going to keep on writing these songs every day. I'll let you know when I'm putting them on SoundCloud. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Phil and Dunny for stopping by from Gobi. Their new album, Gold on Black Ice, is available online and in stores February 10th, 2015, of course. And they're having a release party if you want to get the record early on Saturday, February 7th at Holy Mountain. You can get the album there at their release party. Go down there if you live in Austin. Get in there and see them, all right? Because they're a great band. Gobi. And always a great hang. So enjoy this second conversation with Phil and Dunny from the band Gobi. Let's get down.
It's like I'm born to dance. Michael Jackson, I got that big love. Bill Paxton, I'm on my knees yelling, darling, please. Eric Clapton, but on the dance floor, baby, we can make it happen. On the dance floor, baby, we can make it happen.
You guys did a great job. I like the songs that I heard before too, that you released as singles. Was that earlier in the year? Was that when you were on?
Yeah.
Earlier in 2014?
Mm-hmm. Last time we were here, we were doing the Born to Dance track that we had previously released, and we were re-releasing it.
Do you want to get up closer a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Mic? Yeah. There. Is that better?
Yeah.
There you go.
Check.
Hey.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So, Gold on Black Ice, it comes out February 10th, but you guys have a release show on February 7th, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
At Holy Mountain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What time you guys hit the stage?
Well, that night we should be hitting around 11:15, and we're going to be coming on after some pretty awesome local groups, Keepers being support for the night, and this group called Aviature.
Aviature?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're kind of, I don't know if you've, it's kind of like a poppy indie rock meets, you know, kind of a wondrous, awesome lead singer that kind of gives some really cool pop synth songs.
Yeah,
it's like if you like Metric, the band Metric.
Yeah,
it's like Metric fronted by a suave male vocalist that has some like lower range to his voice and sounds pretty cool.
Do you find yourself to be a suave male vocalist?
I attempt.
I love what you do. Like, you can sing and you can rap. You have a very interesting and unique flow.
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, I guess I try to do what I can do with what I have to work with, and I've never been the most talented singer. But I do enjoy singing, and I've really worked harder on this album to try to do more melody, and you know, the rapping thing has always been kind of my backbone, which I enjoy, and I really love rapping on stage. But singing's kind of been putting me out of my comfort zone, and on this album, I've really kind of enjoyed pushing to those places. And
did you guys worked with AJ Vallejo and also Cadillac? What's his name?
Yeah, Cadillac. Colin Roberts.
Colin Roberts.
Yeah, yeah.
Colin Cadillac Roberts.
Yeah,
does he go by Cadillac? What is he calling?
I don't.
What's a Cadillac in there for?
I don't call him Cadillac. But that's kind of like his pseudonym. I just call him Colin.
Okay.
But yeah. You know, we met during South By a few years back at the Belmont, and he was running our sound for a show we were doing.
Colin.
Yeah, Colin okay. was. And he was a great live engineer, and he kept pestering me and being like, "Man, I heard you guys, you know, recordings." He's like, "I think I can clean them up. I can help you guys. I'd love to have you guys in the studio." And I kind of just didn't really take him serious. And you know, a couple weeks go by, a month go by. I'd see him at different venues. Finally, I just decided to hit him up and went to his studio and loved what he was doing. He's got a really cool knack and ear for mixing a lot of electronic heavy music.
So did he do the mixing?
Yeah,
AJ did the recording.
So AJ pretty much, we kind of did it in different sessions. AJ would kind of come in and help us when we had like a skeleton to a song, and we'd initially lay it down in his studios. And then once we got the song kind of how we wanted it structurally and the way we wrote it, then we would take it over to Cadillac or Colin Roberts, and he would kind of fine-tune everything. We'd mix things over there, polish everything up. You know, if we had to, we'd recut some different parts. Sometimes we'd redo some of the vocals. So, yeah, it was kind of a dual part activity by both the guys. And then, you know, on the flip side, we'd take all the tracks that we finished from Colin's place and then go back to AJ's place and listen to them there as a whole group, take notes, critique, and then, you know, bounce back to the other studio.
So it took a little while, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's been, we started recording this album the summer of, I believe, what, 2012? Dunny? Yeah. Summer of 2012 is when we started recording the album, Breaking the Ice on it at AJ's studio. And we finished all the recording this last summer of 2014, and we've been done with the album since October, and just excited to get
just
it out there.
Just been getting it, you know, getting... Who mastered it? Did you go to a special mastering person?
No, we actually, we in-house mastered the entire album for this one as well. So Colin did all the mastering on the album.
Well, it sounds good. And see, even on my 80s speakers.
Nice.
I can't really work on anything but those.
The Yamahas?
Yeah, the NS10s, man. They're the... Most studios still have them that have more than one set of speakers. Usually now they have like powered speakers and then those speakers are second ones. But those are my number ones. Nice. It sounds great. And you guys definitely put a lot of, how do you do this live? Like how, I know that we talked about this before, but let's go back. Let's talk about this because it must be hard. I mean, I have friends like in New York that do what you guys do. I have friends that come out, they even play by themselves, like with synthesizer and they, you know, play and have like some tracks that they made. But there's not a lot of pop music like this going on in Austin, is there? Or am I just blind? Am I... Like, who do you play with when you do a show? You got to get, like, regular. You said that one band was an indie band.
Yeah.
No, that's not, that doesn't sound like a electronic thing.
Yeah, and we've been able to kind of mix back and forth with different styles and genres, but if we're usually putting the show together, it seems we kind of stay on the more maybe indie side, maybe a little bit hip-hop, but, you know, dance. Kind of for sure. So.
Yeah, there is some hip hop going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But you guys are playing like rock clubs, right?
Definitely. Yeah. But you know, I think the same clubs these days, you know, that play host to a lot of rock shows, also play host to some hip hop shows as well. You know, when we do live stuff, we kind of just try to figure out what bands we enjoy listening to.
Right.
And we figure if we dig what they're gonna do, then hopefully the people that come to see us will appreciate it as well. Because really and truly, you don't want your show to be a revolving door. You know, you want it to be a whole culture where hopefully by the end of the night...
All right, you don't want people to come in, one band, leave.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You know, you want to build this community in this sense of like, oh man, I went to go see, you know, Gobi tonight, but I also caught these two opening acts and now they're my favorite new groups in town and I'm going to check them out every other week. And I think that's really where you do build the scene. And I think that's what's important about making sure that you do book bands that... A, you love what they do, because if you don't like what they do, chances are that your fans won't either. So we try to do that, and so it can range from, you know, hip hop groups to indie, you know, rock groups to sometimes even DJs. So yeah, I mean, but when we play live, you know, we really try to go away from what we did on the album. And what I mean by that is, when you listen to Gold on Black Ice, you know, especially the deluxe edition, it's very electronic heavy. There's really only one track where we track a complete drum set throughout the entire album, and that's Velvet Blue. But when we play live, we try to incorporate live percussion. It's like almost one of our number one things, and Dunny really kind of goes off on the, you know, on the set.
I just think more, add more to the track, kind of add that element to just boost the energy up and actually see, you know, the physical work of playing the music.
So you're playing along to the...
Yeah, we still have, you know, our live tracks that were going.
And what all is going on stage? Just you two guys?
No, so yeah, it's us two, and then we also have Justin Dillon, who he's one of the main producers of the beats, and, you know, he will be triggering a lot of stuff via Ableton with a machine, but he's also, like, some shows he'll be doing live projections the whole time while we're playing, so he's kind of cutting live sequencing of video and stuff and making these visualizations. And then when he's not doing that, we want him to pick up the guitar. So a lot of times on the album, you won't hear guitar on certain songs that when you come see us play live, there'll be some subtle guitar going on. There might be a new solo coming at you. We really just try to embrace the idea of make it live, make it different, make it unique every time. You know, like last night I went to go see Russell Peters, who's a comedian, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love stand-up comedy. I think Me it's too. Probably the hardest, you know, art form there is.
Sure.
And a lot of times you see these stand-up comics and you go, you know, you've seen this bit that they've done over and over again, and it's still funny, but it's like, man, I saw the same thing on YouTube he did in San Diego like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, Russell Peters, I thought was really cool last night. Granted, it's the first time I've seen him, but I heard he does this periodically. Is 90% of his show is improv, you know, and then he kind of does a couple of jokes that you know he's going to kind of go into that are kind of written, but most of it's just, you know, playing off the crowd and making fun of people that are around, and I love that improvisational feel to it, and you know, that's in comedy. I love the improvisational feel in music a lot of times. That's why I love jazz. That's why I like a lot of bluegrass and picking, because it's all improv a lot of times. So we try to be as improvisational as we can.
And within those confines, though, because you are working within parameters.
For sure.
So
I mean,
your improvisation does have to happen within a certain... But, you know, sometimes improvisation, I mean, that gives you... it has to be a more focused. That way you don't get lost. It doesn't end up being like a widespread panic show.
Right.
When you go see Gobi.
Keep it contained.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's no 45-minute Tranastagio solos in a Gobi set. Yeah, but
that's good.
And then, you know, sometimes the song just gets totally remixed altogether. Once we start practicing for the live show, then, you know, if we add more drums or something here, then, oh, okay, well, let me twist this part around. And then Dylan bringing in the guitars.
So there's stuff you might change some of the tracks out when you go play live.
Definitely.
Maybe even bring in some new ideas or something.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, yeah. And we've, you know, we've completely changed songs when we play live. And, you know, we were really scared to at first because, you know, you're making this music, this awesome electronic music that you think is really good. You've been working on it forever. And then you're like, shit, how am I going to do this live?
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to get, you know.
Do you do any live looping or anything? Or any live
not really
thing that does that?
Yeah, there is. So it's pretty close because, you know, we don't do like the whole looping pedal like some people do, which is pretty awesome. Like I think L1011 is, they do like a lot of looping stuff, and those guys are phenomenal. It's like a guitar player and another bass player, and they're just, you know, great. But anyway, we do run some loops through a machine off of Ableton that we'll do sometimes live and just kind of just sparkle it up. You know, Dylan's running all of that, and typically he can set different keyboards and different patches that he can kind of just jump in on. And so changing up the song a little bit more and making it a little bit special when you come see it live, and just kind of building on that whole idea of, you know, improving and kind of giving the song what it needs at that point in time.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Yeah.
Very in the moment.
Yeah. That's good, man.
But yeah.
Because that's the one thing I think that can lack, you know, like when you see a pop group that does play with tracks and stuff.
Yeah.
The one thing that you're just kind of like, you know, it's going to be this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have any dance moves that you've worked on?
You know, my dance moves are always in continuous flow of being worked on. I probably should enroll in some sort of class at this point because we've been playing so many shows, you know, where I'm rocking in front of people. But, you know, going back to the vocal, you said the suave vocalist comment earlier, it is really tough now, like rapping, running around stage, and then having to like stop
and sing.
And I have to be cognizant of that all the time because I'm used to just running around stage for an hour.
And that's some nice singing. It's not, you can't do that shit out of breath.
Definitely. No. Yeah. Thank you, man.
So who did AJ work on that stuff with you a lot? For singing?
I'd say he gave me the confidence. And you know, AJ's really good at making you feel very comfortable in the studio.
He is.
You know what
he's
I mean?
He's very good at making you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And empowering you.
Yeah. You know, and AJ's one of those guys that's like, you know, could be like one of those positive, inspiring, you know,
he is like
speakers,
that. Yeah.
You know? And so when we first started going in, we were using a little auto-tune on this pedal that I had, and like a little pitch correction. Not like T-Pain, but you know, it's subtle, but it's there.
But there are some vocal effects like that. Do you do those live?
Yeah, we do.
That comes up. Mm-hmm. So you okay, go ahead. So
yeah.
I'll ask you another question after that.
And so, you know, we're in the studio and he's like, why don't you, you know, AJ in his country, you know, accent, he's like, why?
Hey, man.
Yeah, he's like, hey, man, why don't you use that pedal, man? And I was like, you know, I feel very self-conscious, you know, doing auto-tune vocals, man. I don't know if that's my thing, or I don't know if I should be singing. I rap. He's like, nah, man, just make it sexy, man. This track's need to be sexy. And so, you know, he's like, just, you know, I'm just playing for core, man. Just do those vocals, but just kind of sing it, you know. And I did it, and he was like, oh, that sounded great. You know, do it again. And kind of just worked on that and came back into the actual studio room with him out of the booth, and we talked about it. And he gave me some advice, you know, maybe make this note higher, take this note out. And then that was one of the first tracks we did together. It was Doc Holliday, the first time we kind of wrote that melodic version of singing into our music. And I was still kind of against it. And he's like, nah, man, this is great. You need to push this. This needs to be kind of like the new sound of the album. And honestly, if I wouldn't have had him kind of in the corner telling me, yeah, it's cool, you should do it, I might have been apt to just kind of keep with just rapping and doing the old kind of Gobi we used to be doing instead of doing a lot of the melody and choruses. And I think it adds a lot more to our sound. And I feel like we were kind of lacking that in many ways was the melody. So it's nice to have that on the new album for sure.
Yeah. I like that you guys have like songs and stuff. There's a song I like, but it's not really a song that, you know, a song... Bitch, you guessed it. You know what I'm talking about?
Which one?
Bitch, you guessed it. That dude. It kind of sounds like Lil Jon, but it's not.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he's just kind of like talking in this weird piano thing, and then he just every once in a while yells out, "Bitch, you guessed it."
I haven't heard that yet, man. I need to check that out.
Check it out, yeah. But I like that there's songs.
Fan.
Are you a Lil Jon fan?
You know,
I am.
Every now and then.
I like him.
Yeah. Kind of gets me. Makes me. Dance a little.
I think anybody that can make a career for as long as he has, and it's kind of been a long career at this point.
He's had a long career, man.
And making music so simplistic that people...
It's really simple.
But people just jam it. You know, you love it. And whether you love it or you hate it, everyone has an opinion on it. Yeah. Everyone has a big opinion on it, and everybody knows who Lil Jon is.
To me, you have to have... It's like a really good song. Like, how can you not like... I'm trying to think of a song. But like, how can you not like... Turn down for what?
Yeah. Like, and it's normally just one word he says or just a few words, and that's it. And everybody goes fucking crazy over it.
But he knows how to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
his energy.
You know, and I've seen his studio, which is pretty remarkable. It's like he used to when he was doing like a lot of the Usher stuff, you know, when he kind of first came on the map and, you know, that na-na-na-na, you know, that track. I saw something like a while back, and it was in some magazine. They were showing his studio, which was essentially just this like big living room where him and his buddies just drink and just partying all day, and then he would just be, you know, making beats or whatever, and typically pretty spun out of his head, it seemed like. And it makes sense because the music is very just like, you know, it kind of has a little drunk flavor to it, you know. And
but he seems pretty... Did you see him on a Celebrity Apprentice?
Yeah. I think he's a... I mean, obviously he's a very lucid, smart cat. Yeah.
I mean, he was with it the whole time. Didn't he win or almost win or something?
I think he almost won. Oh, then even Dave Chappelle, you know, had his skit where he's like, "What? What?" Yeah. And then when he would talk, he's like, "Well, actually."
Yeah, man. But I don't know. I think so. You know, I just think he's pretty good. I mean, you can't hate on producers that have had that long of a career and been able to just transform. I mean, he got... You know, I remember seeing him like on MTV with like Carson Daly, and now, you know, we're still talking about him. You know, he's still relevant. So, you know, more props to him.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So this is the question I was going to ask you about playing live. So like when you play live, I mean, do you have like your own monitoring system that you bring with you? Because it's going to be pretty intricate, especially for you and both of you guys. You got to be able to hear those tracks, and it's not like a whole band playing behind you. Is there a speaker?
Right. There are monitors on stage.
Regular monitors.
Yeah, and then our sound engineer, Joe Christopher.
You have your own guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you got it. That's a delicate scene.
Yeah, and he really comes out and, you know, makes sure we can hear everything.
Does it sound weird on stage with the music coming through the speakers and then the drums being live?
It's just very loud. It's very loud.
Yeah,
it's a lot louder. The tracks pumping through pretty loud.
Yeah, and Dunny, you know, Dunny's pretty heavy-handed player, you know, and so we definitely have a lot of... It's pretty loud on stage. But with that also comes a hard balance because I use a pedal live to do all like the vocal effects and processing. And, you know, some of those pedals, even though this thing has, like, a cutoff on it, so where, you know, it's supposed to not feedback and yada yada, it's still very meticulous, especially when you're pushing that much, you know, power through those monitors. So we spend a lot of time, you know, taking out the different frequencies and making sure that everything sounds really nice.
Sound check is a pretty...
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, because it's not like a throw and go. So what do you do? Like, are you guys in South by Southwest? Did you get in?
No, we didn't do it official this year, but we're going to do some unofficial gigs. We've done Red Gorilla Music Fest the last 3 years, and that's been really good to us.
What's that?
Red Gorilla, it's a music festival that goes on during the week of South By, and they do it at different venues downtown. Their kind of claim to fame was like a couple years ago. They had Macklemore as one of their headliners, and that was when he was, you know, doing a lot of his up and coming stuff. And they do pick a really diverse group of national acts. A lot of times, some of those acts are official. They can do both. Yeah, and they've been really good to us. They've, you know, last year we were headlining at the Handlebar downtown. We played like at midnight, you know, at their upstairs stage at the Handlebar. And we did two nights of that, which was really cool. Packed, you know, to capacity house. And
and they're all free.
Yeah, and all the shows are free, and you don't need, you know, badges or anything to get by. So we actually usually have a pretty good turnout, one in, one out, at all the shows we do with them because of the promoting they do and the venues they have. They always have really good live sound. So that's been cool. And then we have a couple other gigs, unofficial things we're going to be doing. Nothing's like completely pinned in yet, but there's an interactive gig we're going to be doing with Fest Pop, which is an organization out of California that we're going to be setting up with. And then we're going to be hopefully working with some other awesome artists to be putting together some showcases at Empire. So we're just working the kinks out, and we'll definitely be playing probably not as many shows as we normally do, but definitely about 4 to 5 shows during this year. In South by
so
week.
With those shows, how do you get yourself a sound check? I mean, what's going on? That's the thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I'm stressing out right now.
So yeah, with that said, you know, we can definitely go quickly through a sound check. I mean, we like to have the 35 minutes, 40 minutes to really tweak everything out when we're headlining a show, you know. But we can just sit down and go quickly. We can, yeah. I mean, honestly, we're pretty easy to check. And the thing about it is we're so... We've been practicing for so long together, and you know, we do practice a lot, to where, you know, it's just muscle memory at that point in time. And you know, whether we have good monitors or not, typically you're so well versed in what you're doing live that, you know, you just kind of hit it running. And that's not to say we do take certain things into our hands. For example, we run a mix from our computer to Dunny, so that we know that if his monitor's horrible that night or if the venue sucks with their monitors, he's got a perfect in-ear mix going on, so that he can hear exactly the beat that's going on. As long as he hears the beat, I can play off of him, and you know.
I guess so.
Yeah, so we're pretty good to go, but you know,
because that's definitely happened.
Where
we've gone on stage, you know, in festival type gigs, and you know, it's like, okay, I'm actually hearing what's out in front, and you know, there's like a delay,
right?
And you know, I'm a half a beat off or something or whatever, you know. So
yeah,
it's definitely okay. We're gonna have the mix now, just going to me. No matter what, you know.
Right.
And I still have it there because it's just basically putting headphones on. I mean, even if we have good sound, I usually still have it there for backup anyway. So.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Very good idea.
Yeah. Learned a lot of lessons.
Do you guys go on the road a lot? Do you travel?
Yeah. We're going to be traveling a little bit this spring. We're going to St. Louis for this thing called Shutterfest in April. But that's a flyout gig. So we're just flying out there.
What do you use, like rented drums?
Yeah, if I were flying out, we'll rent drums.
What was that?
I don't know.
Somebody started their car.
Sounded like a toilet in my headphones.
Yeah. Who's here? Sorry.
Usually rented drums, or I'll take, you know, cymbals or little things that it can fly with.
And do you have electronic things on your drums?
I don't have any triggers. I do have a SPDS Roland pad that I can set up triggers on. I usually been doing that a lot lately on recording.
Okay.
Just going in and just plugging straight in and doing that. Live, you know, it'd be nice to have, but we already have the electronic loops and stuff going, and until I can get someone to help me set up all the time, you know.
Yeah.
That's tough. Just getting drums,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And everything going's fine, so. But
So you're going to do the Shutterfest in St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis. And then we're going to be going to we got a couple tentative dates in Fort Worth.
Sweet.
Yeah, we play at Lola's Saloon, and I'm working with the guy right now. We're going to figure something out in the spring, but last time we were there was a really great show with Ishii, and we really enjoy playing out there. And then we've got some stuff going on this summer. We're looking to do all the way out to Cali, going up to L.A., going to Denver, and then Kansas, and then back to St. Louis, and then all the way back down. And that's just going to be kind of a little independent run we're going to go on. It'll be about 2 weeks long. We're booking it right now, getting all the fine kinks worked out. And then that's pretty much our touring plans for this year. But, you know, we're going to be playing February 7th at Holy Mountain for the release of the album. And we just launched a new radio campaign for the album, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah?
So we've never done that.
What does that entail?
Yeah, I mean, it's all new to me because we've never really done this kind of a push for the album that we've been a part of. So we're working with this group called Cosign. They're based out of New York and Chicago, and they're going to do non-com radio for us. So pretty much we're just doing like a lot of college radio.
Okay.
So we're doing about 200 different markets, college. The album's going out to them in February. And then based on the analytics that we get back, we're going to sit down and map it out and figure out
see what's hot.
figure out where we need to go for the fall when those kids are back in school and been jamming the record for a little bit. So that's kind of the tentative game plan from now until, you know, the end of the year.
Do you guys have a manager guy?
Yeah, we do. His name is Milton Hopkins. We call him Uncle Milty. He's literally become like a huge part of our family. And he was based out of New York for a little bit. We actually went to go see him last February. We played a show out in New York that he helped us set up. And now currently he's out in L.A., so we'll be rendezvousing with him when we go out there this summer. But he runs this thing called... U Management, and we're about, I think we're one of seven artists on the roster, and all the acts, they range from all sorts of singer-songwriter and different things, but one of his acts called Lil and Ashley, they just released their new album a few months ago, and we did an official remix that's on the album.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's a super poppy track, but the song was, the original song was Amazon's most downloaded song of 2012, and so,
what?
Yeah, they've got a really good resume going. I mean, they the track has like 400,000 hits on YouTube, but so we did the remix, it's called Stole My Heart, and you can get that Lil and Ashley on iTunes right now.
You looking
so.
To do more of that stuff too? Doing some remixing?
Yeah, man, we're always doing some remixing, you know, working on different things. Either people are remixing our stuff or we're remixing different things. We were just in the studio this weekend, and it's kind of funny, but we're working on a cover of The Police. We're doing a Police cover.
What song?
We're doing Every Breath You Take. And the reason being...
So he's really channeling Sting when he's singing now.
Yeah. Cheesy.
The reason being is because, we got this kind of offer to do this licensing thing for a show, and they needed a song that had, like, stalker lyrics.
Yeah.
And we were just like, the first song that popped into our head was like, well, there's no more stalker lyrics than, you know, Every Breath You Take.
Yeah,
it's just such a stalker song.
Yeah.
And so we, it's a high BPM. It's 117. So all we had to do is bring it up a little bit to like 120, hit a nice little dance groove. It's pretty funny. When we made the song in the studio, instead of doing the recording on like a MIDI keyboard like we typically do, mm-hmm. it's such an intricate little part, you know, that Dylan, he's a bass player by trade. He has a little MIDI guitar, and so he plugged that in, and he did all the MIDI instead of on a keyboard on the guitar for that one.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and it sounds really cool. I mean, you would never know the difference. I mean, you know, post production, but it's cool how you can go about, you know, kind of creating electronic music these days with all the different. You know, tools. And
yeah. Are you guys going to put that out available to the people?
Eventually, yeah. it will come out.
Probably in a little while.
What we're going to do is make a really souped-up remix version of it. It'll probably be like 8 to 10 minutes long and like super dance and make it like a very deep house track that just kind of keeps wandering.
Because we might be playing it February 7th. Possibly.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're working on some new stuff that's not even on the album for the 7th. I might be playing some saxophone that night. Like, we got a
Did
whole...
you play saxophone in high school or something?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up playing clarinet, and then moved to tenor sax, and then immediately started playing barry sax. So I played tenor and barry for a long time, and then you know, I played alto as well, but I don't like soprano and alto as much as I like to honk on the big horns, you know.
Yeah.
Going back to the improvisation, that's kind of where I truly fell in love with it, was when, you know, you could just be jamming, playing a little jazz song, and then they give you 64 measures to just do whatever you want. You
that's
know?
A lot
and,
of measures, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes we'd go back and forth. Like when I was growing up,
you can just you're a jammer like that.
You know, I'm not as good as some of the awesome jazz musicians you see around town, but I've got some chops on the sax and definitely can play and get my way around. And it's fun. But unfortunately, my D flat key is really messed up right now on my saxophone. And if anybody has a saxophone out there that wants to lend one to me, just holler.
How much are saxophones? Saxophones are probably expensive
as shit.
Right?
Yeah, they're real expensive.
Well, how much
man.
Are they?
I mean,
like $1,000?
Well, no,
is that absolute?
Absolute? No, this is actually just the water canteen. Okay.
This is afternoon vodka.
Yeah.
It looks like an Absolute bottle.
Man.
Looks like Absolute water.
No, yeah. We're no man. Saxophones are surprisingly expensive. I mean, even if you want like a lower end, like an Antigua Wind, let's say tenor sax, is gonna run you like $2,500 for a new one. But then if you want,
well, you can go and do like the band, don't they?
Yeah,
you buy them on what do you call it? You buy, rent to buy, rent to own. Yeah.
But then, like, you know, there's like, you know, the Yanigasawas, which is one of like a really nice Japan sax. And, you know, those will cost, you know, for like a nice tenor Yanigasawa, you can spend up to like $8,000. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then, of course, the Selmers, which is like kind of the traditional old school.
Oh, yeah, Selmer.
Yeah, sax. You know, and those actually are more expensive. Sometimes they're even more expensive if you get the old school ones. You know, they're more vintage. So it's kind of like guitars in that sense as well. You know,
yeah.
If you find a certain one. But I started playing Barry on an old school Selmer that had rust all over it, man. It was like, it was beat up. The bell had a huge dent in it. And that thing sounded like it was plugged in with some distortion on it. It was so rattly. But yeah. But yeah, no, so I do like playing sax, and I definitely enjoy it, man, for sure.
You guys have a good website, goldonblackice.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the Gobi.
That's the site. Yeah, that's where you can find all of our stuff.
What are you going to name your next album?
You know, that's a good question. You know, we had two EPs.
I'm also stressing about.
Well, see, so here's the thing.
Okay, tell me the truth.
We, you know, we had these first EPs, we called Poltergeist Arcade, then we had The Late Night, and, you know, we feel like our sound completely changed, so we titled the album Gold on Black Ice, which is kind of also a revamping of our name, Gobi.
Yep.
And, you know, there's been talks of kind of doing the Zeppelin thing, where just it's like Gold on Black Ice 2, you know, or 3 or 4. You could do a different acronym.
Right,
like,
that's what I was going to say.
You know, Getting Our Bread Daily, or...
That's good, but that's good.
You know, there's a Gold on Blue Ice. But in all reality, we are planning on our new album, and we have about 5 tracks we're working on right now. And
how does that start out?
Well, it starts off interestingly. We kind of come together separately first. We have Dylan pretty much makes a track, a little skeleton of a beat. If we like it, he presents us with like 8 songs. You know, some of them we love, some of them we hate. We say yes, no, yes, no. And then the ones that we like, we sit down and we work on. We sequence, we add different parts. And, you know, a couple weeks later, you have the actual song. But it usually does start off with a little skeleton, which could be like a 8-measure loop of typically a bass line, small drum pattern, and, you know, the main melody. And then we usually build on that.
Just kind of feel it. You start rapping. You get some stuff going on.
Yeah.
You do a lot of pop culture referencing in your rapping. That's totally cool. I'm into it.
Yeah. You know, I like it because you can say a lot without having to say a lot.
You referenced some really weird movie that I was like, wow, that's weird. I mean, I know it, but I just...
Which one was that? You know? Do you remember?
Yeah, The Game.
The Game, Michael Douglas?
Yeah. Fuck. I saw that in the theater when it came out.
Yeah, that's a creepy ass movie, by the way. It's awesome. But yeah, you know,
but Sean Penn like is his brother, and like for his birthday he like hires an assassin to kill him. Like, all right, run from this guy.
What do you give a guy that has everything, you know?
Yeah.
Get him an assassin.
That's
no, but you know, the line is I'm jumping off the building, Michael Douglas in The Game is me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and if I don't hit that big X, promise you will carry me. And I'm always thinking to myself, like, does anyone even catch that reference? So that's awesome. Because, you know, at the end of the movie, he jumps off the building.
It made me just stop big X, thing, like, who the fuck references this shit? I mean, it's like, that's outside.
Yeah.
I heard something, and I heard Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, The Butcher. I say, you know, the butcher, Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, talking about, you know, chopping your problems into pieces.
Yeah. So are you a big movie guy? Or are you a big just culture, pop culture guy?
I'm a big movie guy, but I'm also a big person. Like, it's like, you know, you write what you know. Yeah. And especially in rap, you know, there's so many people.
That's what I like.
There's so many people that are trying to do something that they're really not. And and that comes off as being, you know, so fake right away, you know. And I hate when people are like keeping it real, but it really comes down to that, you know. What is it about you? You know, I'm not going to be rapping about things that I don't do. And so when I rap about things that I talk about in our songs, you know, it's because I
watch those
movies.
Do you feel like you have to
start
living a lot dirtier life to, like, make your raps a little more intense?
No, you know, I just feel like, you know, you write what you know. And I definitely grew up in this pop culture, like, society. The problem with it, and the thing you can run into, the scary part, is if you reference somebody and then they do something questionable later on, and I'm kind of finding
like
that
Bill
out.
Cosby?
Yeah, yeah.
Did
yeah.
you do that?
Yeah. He
well,
actually
so
did.
So there's a line in Lose Me where I say, but love is unconditional, like Cosby to his kids, like a broomstick to a witch, like a bullet to a clip, right? So
we could just change it to like. Slip into my roofie like Cosby to his kid or something.
So, yeah, you know, I
like that change.
I don't know,
taking his name out.
I don't know.
Make it real.
Yeah.
Keep
so
it real.
And I thought, you know, I thought I was going pretty solid on Cosby when I wrote that in there. I was like, you know, what could he possibly get into? But
Apparently a lot.
No, yeah. but you know, I think also what I really do like about doing pop references is you can, there's only so many words you can really rhyme with, or so many, you know, some, like when
so
I hear
bring in people's names.
Yeah. Yeah.
When, bring it, it brings a specificity and adds a picture to the.
For sure. Yeah. And but then also just lyrically, you can rhyme so many different words with people's last names. So yeah. Then it's like you have, you know, a billion other words that you can use. And then along with that comes ideas and references. Yeah. So you can say a billion things because that movie said a billion things and you can say it in one line.
Yeah.
You know, if people understand the reference and know what you're talking about. But there are certain songs where I am cognizant of all the pop references. And there are definitely certain songs where I'm like, all right, I am going to intentionally not write a single reference in this track.
Right, right.
You know, and then we post those songs online and we'll typically get a comment like, where are the pop references? I need more references. So you can't please everybody, you know?
Yeah, you can. No, I'm joking. So 2015, you're going to trap. What do you guys listen to? Like, what's new? What'd you get recently, or what'd you get turned on to recently that you want people to know about? What keeps you guys inspired?
It's a good idea. I like Crosses and Chino. Sorry, kind of like an electronic project. A little bit darker, but yeah, it's really good. Chino. I know he had Team Sleep and everything, but it's kind of more of a industrial kind of side to it.
Right.
Which I really like.
Yeah, I mean, lately, man, it's kind of weird, but I've been jamming a lot of Alt-J, you know?
I really dig it.
And you know, I know he's kind of been around for a little while, and people have been kind of hyping him for a while. But yeah, I've been jamming that. And then I jam like my standard. Like I listen to, like at least once a week, I listen to like Barrington Levy, you know, to get like my reggae fix on, and you know, get a little scoopity whoa, you know. I love all the scatting and all that stuff. You know, this week we've been listening to a lot of The Police because we've been doing that song. But you know, I think in terms of rap, I've been listening to a lot of Ritz lately. He's a guy off Strange Music's label, which is Tech N9ne's new label. And when I was out in Colorado Springs, I caught this thing called MERS Day, which is this group called Mayday, which is a rap group. But they kind of do a lot of like faster tempo tracks, a little bit of dance in there. Not like EDM dance, but more like kind of Latin move dance.
Oh, cool.
And Merce, who's a rapper, was one of the living legends, is with them now on tour. And I saw him during South By opening up for Ritz once again, but they, you know, I didn't think much of it, but then when I was in Colorado Springs, man, I saw him and they blew me away. And so I went and talked to Merce and got to link back up with him, and I've really been enjoying their music, man. And I think a lot of stuff coming out of that you know, Strange Music label has been doing really well.
You went to Colorado this year?
Yeah, in Denver. No, I was just out there. I was literally out there just to have a good time, relax, enjoy the scenery.
Yeah.
And, you know, take part in the new newly found freedoms out there. So, and
how's that?
Man, it's like the Wild West out there.
It's pretty cool.
It's phenomenal.
Do you eat candies there? I mean, because like I saw a thing, or I've read a bunch of articles about it, and I fantasize. I love weed.
You know, I brought back a bunch of chocolates. You know, just little organic chocolates, the dark chocolates that you can get out there, and you know, the edibles. But
yeah. What's it? I mean, is everyone just like walk? I mean,
no, but that's the thing. You know,
I think everyone's just like the lines out of McDonald's are nuts, and everyone's just buying fries.
See, and yeah, you know, I figured like, you know, like rainbows are gonna be like coming out of the, you know, ceiling everywhere, and you know, you would just be hearing Bob Dylan songs on every street corner.
Yeah,
but you know, it's actually really tame, and I think that's the coolest part about it is that not, you know, people aren't just running through the streets naked, you know, smoking a spliff. It's very much more like business as usual.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, okay, look, you know, this isn't the craziest idea that's ever come about. The craziest part is that, you know, no one's taking any of this money. The government doesn't, you know, have any, no banks are accepting it. So essentially you have these dispensaries with tons of cash hanging out. So going back to like the Wild West ideology, they have to hire their own security because you just literally have, you know, tons of cash hanging out there, and then a lot of these dispensaries grow at the same place where they're
right,
also,
yeah, that's part of the law there.
And yeah, and so that's pretty interesting.
That helps keeps the cartels out of it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what I enjoyed the most about it was obviously how easy it was, how it just felt so natural, and then also
And it was legal. It wasn't like some kind of fucking thing where you're like, oh no, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
paranoid. They're going to find my chocolates.
But, you know, the edibles, though, you got to be careful out there because they're just, I'm not an edible guy. They're
strong?
Yeah, man, you just pass out. Like,
no, that's not fun.
These little chocolates I had, they had like maybe like a centimeter by a centimeter square. And if you took like two of those chocolates, you're like passed out for like days, you know, like no hours, you know, but, and then the whole dab thing up there. Have you caught wind of that?
No, what's that?
So the dab thing is like kind of like the wax or the oil that these guys make, their shard, if you want to call it. So they'll take like, let's say like an ounce of something, and then they'll refine it using, what do they use?
So basically trying to make hash.
Yeah.
So it turns it into a little liquid.
But it pretty much turns into like a liquid. But it takes so much to make so little. That it's so refined, it's so strong that you literally take a little tiny, they call it dab, it's like a tiny, like the little thing that the dentist gets on you, the little hook, and they put that on like this little thing kind of analogous to a bong, and you hit it off there, and honestly, man, I don't do it, because I'll cough forever, I feel like I feel like I'm about to have an asthma attack, I start sweating.
I didn't go, no.
It's too much. But you can get...
But dabs, it's... pretty good.
You can get a dab at the dab bar in Colorado during dabby hour for like $1 a dab, $2 a dab, and that, you know, you're blown more than you ever have been for hours. It's insane. So I mean, it's cool, man, but I've always loved Colorado, so I think it's just the icing on the cake out there, you know.
I'm wondering, because you guys are playing a kind of music, like if you had to be sensible and get out and try and play some music right now, you guys have definitely found a combo that works in a commercial sense. And I'm not saying that you sold out. I'm just saying you play a kind of music that's really popular right now. Is that something that you're excited about, or something that you're cognizant of even? Or are you just making music and that's what's coming out? And
I think in a way we're kind of aware of it. I mean, we wanted...
I mean, basically, look, there's a lot of people that sit in these chairs that are like a folk person that's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to go to the folk thing. And then you're just like, man, you're going to have to get a job at some point, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean it like that, but you guys seem like you have a potential, because a lot of bands here, you're playing the kind of music that is going on.
You know, kind of take use of all the new tools and stuff with music, so we'd... you know, create that sound.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just be a folk group or whatever. So yeah, we're kind of aware of it in that sense, but
you know, go ahead, Danny. I'm sorry.
That's about it, really.
I think we're definitely cognizant of the demographic that we're going after. And
what is it?
Well, you know, we do have like older friends that love us, you know, so I can't really specify like, oh, we don't want
46-year-old single dudes that live in an apartment with a podcast.
No, we do have some friends that are like in their 50s.
In 50s and 60s. Family in Kansas, I was kind of really surprised at. And we have a radio station up there that's playing Dream with me right now. And getting like some good feedback. So he's like, well, I'm going to keep playing it.
But
your main demographic is?
Well, younger kids,
kids.
We're looking at, you know, kids that are like between 15 and, you know, I'd say 29, 28, you know, and we don't want to exclude anybody, you know, but when, be quite honest, it is really cool being able to make music for kind of like, you know, the younger crowd, because you do get to play some of the, you know, quote unquote, new and upcoming festivals. Like, we've gotten to be a part of some really cool festivals and see bands that we really enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, checking out, I really do enjoy that. You know, my friends, we go back and forth because, you know, we've got some great friends that play country that we admire, you know, the hell out of, and they're always on the country circuit in Texas, you know, but they get to play every night, you know, and they're like, man, but I'm playing these little towns, and I'm like, but you got to play on Tuesday night.
Yeah,
you know?
You're not gonna go to Smithville
do
a thing.
You know, we can't go play. Yeah, exactly. No. We can't go
Conroe.
Play. Yeah, so yeah. So we got to really pick and choose where we go, which is good and bad, you know. But you know, what we're hoping to do with this album is, you know, obviously increase people know about who we are. But really and truly, like you said, I think at one point it was just about kind of creating this music that we really enjoy creating, using the instruments that we have and things that we have available to us, and kind of creating something that we feel is a little bit different than the rest of the pack, but, you know, can still be aligned with, like you said, some of the popular music going on today.
Do you guys know what NACA is? Is that still a thing?
Nacogdoches?
No, NACA, the National Association of College, whatever.
Oh, I guess not, no.
It's a thing that you go and you kind of go to these conferences, and it's colleges, and there's talent buyers from every college, and you go and you play, and then they kind of hire you all. Like, they all go into a room and watch your set, and then afterwards, they like negotiate. It's like Sundance. Or the Cannes Film Festival for movies. Like, you go there, you show the movie, and then a bunch of people go like, I'll put it out. Well, all these people are like, oh, we'll have you do this thing. And I know, I mean, I know a lot of, you should tell your manager about
it.
Because the demographic that you're going for is definitely there. And you would be traveling to all these towns, but you would be playing for, like, you know, you would be playing the Nacogdoches. You'd be playing at the college. Or you know, like at Beaumont or something. You'd be playing at, like, Lamar University.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know that we had our manager made us, we had to make this, like, reel for some college board that we sent it to that, like, showcased our music and our live scene. Yeah, but I don't really know what ever came of that. I know we're looking for the fall to get on the college tours, like I was telling you about, and, you know. But
You know what? I would look into it because I have some friends that they were solo acoustic guys, but the thing is like, you know, they'll pay like $500 to $1,000 but for two guys, that's the fucking, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
For three guys. That's like, good money. I mean, it's not awesome, but it beats the hell out of, like, you know, $50 for both guys.
For sure.
You know? So yeah, maybe that's something you guys could do.
Yeah. Well, appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it seems like if that's who you're going for, that would be the best place. And you could kind of, you could tour and keep yourselves pretty busy. I did a couple of shows like that, but they were really funky, man. But they help when you're on tour, you know. Like, we were playing in Wichita, Kansas, and then we played the college that day and made a lot of money. But it was like at lunchtime in the cafeteria.
Nice. I mean, hey, there you go.
Yeah, it was weird. But
especially in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, yeah. it was you know, I definitely didn't make $300 that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The club, so.
Well, colleges always have money to spend on different arts.
Yeah, they do.
I remember when I was at Texas State, we brought in a lot of talent, and man, we always had a budget for all these things and different acts.
Yeah, you know, I used to play in the thing. They used to have a thing there, like, on Wednesdays or something.
Oh, at George's?
Early 2000s.
And George's used to, I mean, I haven't been out there in so long, but George's used to be a really cool spot, man. We played out there with even, like, Zilly, I think, a couple times when Gobi was first starting to play, and I don't know, man. It was, I think it's cool to get in front of that college crowd and being able to do that stuff. But at the same time, you know, it's exhausting being around the college kids too often, because I can't go like I used to and stay up all night and go in the morning. And
well, how old are you?
I just turned 30. So, putting the years up there,
you
man.
You still look like a kid. What about you, Donnie? What are you?
29.
Jesus, man. You're closing in on it.
Yeah, I know.
How long have you guys known each other?
I met him when I was 19, I think, 19, 20 years old. Yeah.
We've been pals for
Coming up on our anniversary.
Hey, do you like Iggy Azalea?
I don't know, man. Her beats, I think, are okay. I don't know who produces them. Here's my thing. Remember talking about being fake and rapping?
Yeah.
So it's not like she's talking about anything that's crazy in the rap world or, you know, but I don't think
don't
she's a.
She
I don't think
say.
She's a rapper, and I think it's very fake.
No, I don't
either. It's almost like man. It's just kind of like it's almost like she's covering someone else's track in a way, and and it's kind of I don't know. It sells a lot. People like it, I guess. But the whole image, and then what she said. I mean, I don't even think she says anything in any of her songs. I've never even gotten any line that's given me any content at all. And the thing that really bothers me, the grinds my gears, is the Grammys. I think she got nominated for Best Rap Album, and I know the Grammys are the Grammys, but and they've kind of always dogged rap or in a way.
But the thing is, it's the people that are voting are musicians,
right?
So it's them.
Those
that's stupid.
People put those
but
votes
I just,
into.
I just don't
too.
See how.
But you, I guess this guy's like Burt Bacharach, or you know, like of that era, might still be voting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No offense against Burt Bacharach. He's a fucking genius, but I don't think I want him choosing my best rap category at all.
Right. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just want to hear, to me, rap has to, you have to show where you are. Like, where is Iggy Azalea in her music? Like, I don't see her soul when I listen to her music. And I feel like if you're going to be rapping, you should be telling a story of you. Every other rapper I listen to, you're like, oh, okay, that's what that dude's doing right now. Or, oh, this is a little, you know, sneak peek into this guy's weekend or whatever. I have no idea what she's up to. And it'd be kind of interesting if she were to rap more about, you know, because what, she's from Australia or New Zealand or some shit like that? I know she's foreign. Yeah, she's not from America. So, like, sure, she has a story to tell. Maybe on her next album, she won't have so many people talking in her ears, and she'll maybe expand on her own personal life.
She's going to have a lot more people talking in her ears.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. That was a long answer, but no, I don't really enjoy Iggy Azalea.
Do you think her butt is fake? I saw her on Saturday Night Live, and I have this feeling, and I've talked on this on a couple of shows.
I don't
know. Sorry, audience, if you don't want me talking about Iggy Azalea's butt, and is it fake?
My wife is pretty interested in this topic. And
fake
so,
butts?
Yeah, yeah. So she like has pictures of like there's one of Nicki Minaj where you can totally tell that something went wrong there. It's almost like there's a scar underneath the cheek of the flop of the cheek, and it looks kind of odd. It's a weird picture. Maybe it's docked. I don't know. The internet can pull up some weird things.
Right.
But you know, I but more importantly, whether it's fake or not fake, why the fuck would you want to have a butt implant to begin with? I don't know. It's just odd, man. The things that we do as a culture to you know, create this facade of what you need to be or need to do to be successful or be the epitome of beautiful is just fucking ridiculous.
I would be really excited if you told me your wife was a plastic surgeon.
She's a plastic surgeon. No, she's not.
She gave her the butt implants.
Maybe she could give me blood. So what does she do?
You gonna go for the butt implants?
I need them. What does she do?
She does modeling and acting.
Whoa.
So
it's pretty intense.
She's kind of on the other side of it all. But
Dunny, what's your are you on a single tip? Or
oh,
you,
yeah. Single
oh, yeah?
Man. Yeah.
Do you I have go, a lot like, of girlfriends. Do you go to like, dinner at their house and stuff, and you're like their son or something?
The third wheel at times. Yeah. Yeah. Usually try to, you know, bring somebody over. No.
How does she like the album? That's the litmus test, man. If your lady doesn't like it, you need to go back to the drawing board.
Definitely. You know, we do run things by our girls that are in our life.
You have to.
My wife, our Dylan's girlfriend, Ashley, and then some of our just really close homegirls that are always hanging out with us. And we want their opinion because the easiest way to get a guy to go like your music is to have his girl all about your music and force him to come, you know?
Of course.
And so yeah, I will tell you, she's very honest. When something sucks, she tells me. She's like, that song's horrible, Phil, or those lyrics are garbage, or, you know, she's very, very blunt, which I have to turn the shower on when I cry, you know, so she doesn't hear me.
Do you ever get...
No, but she to answer your question, man, she does, she likes the album. I think that, I'm trying to think what her favorite track is on the new album. I think her favorite track is Empty Streets, but I could be wrong. But yeah, no, she definitely does like the album, and that means a lot to me, because I mean, man, if the girl that you sleep with every night and that you trust with your life doesn't appreciate what you're putting out and putting your heart and soul into, it seems like a lost cause.
Would anyone here have seen her in anything? Acting?
Well, she does, like, you know, she does a lot of in terms of acting, she does a lot of like smaller featured what are they called,
featured extra.
Yeah, like a featured extra. So like, yeah, so like she's in the Machete movies.
Yeah,
typically, like, I think she's with Sofia Vergara on this last one in like the Beso Pussy Market or something like that. And she's in Sin City 2. So like, she runs the gamut of like
That's
the awesome.
Killer, man.
She's in Transformers 4 at the very beginning.
No shit.
Which I wish I would have known that was the only scene she had, because I could have just like walked out of the theater then and spared myself like the god awful 3 hours.
She didn't tell you that was the only scene. Oh, she did some other scenes. Well, yeah, they
got cut. Yeah, they got cut, you know. But dude, that movie's horrible. And I love Mark Wahlberg, and it was just garbage.
I can't even fathom watching it.
Don't go see it at all.
Why would I see it?
Oh man, yeah. The only reason I went is because she's in it. And then she was even sitting next to me in the theater. And she's like, we don't have to stay, baby. This is getting really ridiculous. I was like, no, it's all right. We can stay.
But your
lady's
in a movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. And when she got to,
she's
in the scene with him. So they got to hang out, because they shot a lot of scenes that didn't make it. And, you know, it's kind of intense knowing that your wife is hanging out with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What are you going to do if she ever gets a scene where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make out, or even worse, with a Mark Wahlberg?
Oh man.
Or Burt Reynolds. No, you know. or like the modern equivalent of Burt Reynolds. But yeah. Bieber.
I'm
in the new Bieber movie.
I definitely wouldn't be putting that person in my next song as a reference. But no.
How would you handle that? You got to be cool.
Yeah,
it's a movie.
You know what? To be honest with you, I'd be happy for her, because I know how hard it is to get those roles. I mean, she's in an audition right now, and it's for some Spanish speaking role, because she's actually from Mexico. She was born in the U.S., but her family's all from Mexico.
She must be
interior.
Pretty.
Yeah, and she's beautiful, but inside and out, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the I think the film world is even tougher than music, because I mean, for us, it's like you can be fulfilled but sitting at home and playing your keyboard. Matter of fact, my favorite time to play music is just at home, chilling, you know, playing the keyboard or whatever. That fulfills me. That makes my, you know, my heart, you know, warm, if you want to, you know, it makes me feel good at the end of the day. Whereas an actor, I don't know how you get that out of you. Would you just sit there and do role, like lines, and you just go out to the building and
tell
just
you something?
Cannon to the right to them.
Yeah.
Cannon to them.
I was 13 years old, I saw Cheap Trick and I flipped out and I was like, I'm going to be a rock star guy. But I'd also been acting, but I'd been taking guitar lessons and I really wanted to kind of be an actor. It was real cool. And I met Mark Hallman, the producer. He owns the Congress House here. And I was 13, and he was already a grown up dude. And he was like, so do you want to be a musician or what? And I was like, well, you know, kind of, but I'm into acting. And this, he said, he was like, man, you don't want to do that. And I was like, why? And he was like, because what do you do when you're alone? And he was like, with musician, man, you can just play. And you always have something to do.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in acting, what are you going to do? Like, act in your room? Like, yeah, who cares? And I was like, dude, you're right. That's a real thing.
It's so tough, man. And then I think also, you know, the music industry got hit, obviously, ridiculously hard with the whole digital thing. But now we're starting to see the movies dealing with it.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And the hardest part...
I love how, like, musicians are, like, up in arms about Spotify and Pandora. But, like... fucking like go home and watch like 83 episodes of something on Netflix.
Yeah, right.
It's awesome, right? You're like, dude, you're fucking the movie people.
Oh, crazy amounts, man.
Yeah.
I know some good friends that are like, you know, smaller filmmakers that, you know, they used to make $120,000 off a film and now off DVD sales.
Right.
And now they have to sell that film for $12,000 one off and that's it. You know, so, but what's really going to hit
that
hard.
Sucks.
What's
that's
really,
how that works.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What's really going to hit hard though is when these people start realizing, not, I guess they've already realized it, but you know, the music industry survives because we can all go gig and pretty much your album becomes like a glorified poster for, you know, you to come check us out. You know, it's almost like a glorified, hey, come check out this band. You know, this is a great, you know, band to check out, and you go see them play and we can make our money at our live shows. But, you know, Brad Pitt can't, you know, go off and do, you know, well, he could probably do whatever he wants live.
Not really worried about Brad Pitt.
But you know what I mean? Like, these actors that are in these movies, you know, they might not be able to go and just, like, what are they going to do to make their money when the film's only grossing, you know, $100,000 or less, or I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm not too worried about the actors out there, but I do feel for them because it is definitely a hard boat to ride.
Well, yeah, good luck, your wife, good luck to her.
Oh, yeah, thanks, yeah.
Good luck on the audition, Break a Leg. okay, so your album, Gold on Black Ice, is available in stores and online on February 10th, 2015. But your show, your release show, it'll be available at the release show at Holy Mountain on February 7th.
Yeah, we'll have physical copies there, and you can also pre-order the album on iTunes.
On iTunes?
Yeah, just, you know, search Gold on Black Ice, deluxe edition. It's the deluxe edition that you want to look after. And when you buy it, you get free, four free tracks right away. You get Dream With Me. Yeah, you get Velvet Blue, Lose Me, and... I can't remember the fourth. And Empty Streets. So you get those right away.
Yeah, get online. Do that now.
Yeah. And then the album will be also in Waterloo. So if you are going by Waterloo on February 10th or any time after that, jump in the store. And we'd love the support, man. It'll be at the Texas Here, which I think is a great thing that they do out there in Waterloo, you know, for all the local musicians. It's awesome.
Totally. Totally. Is there anything that I'm missing? I'm looking forward to this, to seeing more stuff from you guys. I can't go to this show because I'm gonna be somewhere playing.
Damn. Busy man. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah, no, we're just we're just happy to be back, Johnny. Thanks for having us out again,
man.
It's always good catching up and having these little conversations with you.
Well, we'll have you back again. Hopefully you'll get some stuff going on. Maybe we should go on a trip to Colorado, a fact finding mission.
Yes,
the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, do some research. Yeah. Come back and tell the people what I experienced there.
I am in.
Under a law of total freedom.
You can count me in on that, dude.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Good luck.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, man.
It's like I'm born to dance. Michael Jackson, I got that big love. Bill Paxton, I'm on my knees.
Yeah. Gobi, doing it. with their new album, Gold on Black Ice, which is available in stores and online on February 10th. Of course, if you live in Austin, you can go to their record release party Saturday, February 7th. You can get it there at Holy Mountain. All right? Gobi, great band, great record, produced by AJ Vallejo and Colin Roberts. Cadillac Roberts. Cadillac. I want to name a car name. Sadly, mine would probably be like Fiat. Hey, Fiat Gaudi, what's going on, buddy? Hey, you know, squishy little European car that nobody likes. Gaudi, how you doing, pal? All right, don't forget, Gobi, great guys. I want to thank Dunny and Phil for stopping by and saying hello. Pick up their album. You can find them at goldonblackice.com on the internet. And of course, while you're out there, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And you will get one every Tuesday and every Friday. And also, you can like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy. And let's enjoy some more music from Gobi. All right? I hope you all have a great weekend. Here's some more music from Gold on Black Ice. Let's get down.
I'm guilty for killing it, no matter who the juror be. I'm walking on the sun, asking her, yep, she agrees. It's nice to be the hottest thing, just shining in the galaxy. And I'm on fire, come a king, burning sire. I have a dream and I'm known for my famous speech. I'm jumping off the building, Michael Douglas in the game is me. And if I don't hit that big X, promise you will carry me. Carry me, carry me, I need someone to carry me. My soul is gravitating, but the rock is trying to bury me. Freak, freak, freak. Oh yeah, the world need a facelift. You fight the revolution, I'll be on my spaceship. Rolling up the great shit, rolling up the great shit. Life can be a bitch and I'm tired of the fake shit. Oh yeah, the world need a facelift. You fight the revolution, I'll be on my spaceship. Searching for love, searching for peace. Searching through the cosmos for serenity. For serenity, for serenity. I'm searching through the cosmos for serenity, for serenity, for serenity. I'm searching through the cosmos for serenity. They say I'm light years away, DeLorean to infinity. They say that I am blessed, holy trinity. And time can make you change, lose identity. Love can cost the most, be prepared to pay expensive fees. And Tom Petty said it best, and I'm free falling. And like Pacino said, inch by inch I keep crawling. So call me Willie Beeman, start up from the hurdle. Calling the Hail Mary, run quick, see till tomorrow.